in amongst the mass of people downstairs in the canteen, I've come across a lady who somebody pointed to and said, you should speak to her. She was here in the very, very early days, from day one, in fact. Carenza Hayho.
Yes, I was here right at the beginning because I was bad at saying no. So I ended up on the first council chairing the combined Education and Welfare Committee.
What was the role of the council?
Learning how to run things. We came in with no terms of reference, except a decision to be an association and not a union. We were determined that we were going to run things for ourselves, and horrified when we found that we had a general secretary who had no terms of reference and was talking about my students. And we felt this wasn't a very good idea.
So, if you had nothing to compare to what the Open University suddenly was born to kind of do, how did you guys evolve? How did the Open University evolve itself?
Well, I came in with 6 O-levels and nothing else. But another member of the council was a retired bank manager. We had every sort of experience, background and expertise. And so it was a huge melting pot. And if a problem came up, we did our best to solve it. One of the heroines was somebody called Valerie Saunders, who took on the problems of disabled students, found an appropriate bus, and took the first student trip to Rome, 50% able-bodied and 50% disabled.
The Open University was, well, still is in many ways, but seemed to be quite revolutionary at the time.
We had a terrific political problem on our hands. The Conservative Party was very anti. Harold Wilson, poor man, upset a lot of us because he hijacked Jenny Lee's baby.
Right, of course.
And I am delighted to be here today and see that at long last she is properly honoured.
Very much so, with the Jenny Lee building. And so, originating the idea, how did Harold Wilson take over?
He was a very powerful man. He saw his opportunity. He saw it a way of getting very good publicity. And he got it. But our real problem was getting through to Margaret Thatcher. And she was well protected by her parliamentary servants and never answered her letters. We managed to see Roy Hattersley. We saw the man who said that he represented education for the Liberal Party. But Norman St. John Stevens and Margaret Thatcher, no way.
Wow.
And I would like it to go down in the OU history as to how we eventually got to her. My son was at St. Paul's Boys' School in the sixth form, and he was co-editor of the school poetry magazine with the girls' school. And the other editor was a girl called Carol Thatcher. So my Tom said, Mother, you write the letter you want Margaret Thatcher to read. I will put it in our magazine over my signature. I will give it to Carol, and she will put it with the marmalade on her mother's breakfast table. And I promise you, that is how we made our breakthrough.
Fantastic. Oh, wow. I wonder if Lady Thatcher, who's still with us,
yes.
I wonder if she remembers the origins herself.
Well, quite possibly, because when you get to that age, you remember the long-distant past better than yesterday.
Do you remember way back where the council used to meet?
Well, I do remember one particular meeting in the Bullring in Birmingham, where we had, well, we had no standing orders, and we knew that we had a very competent General Secretary, and we had to put shackles on him so that he was our servant rather than our master. And because we had no terms of reference, my late husband put me in touch with a naval barrister who told me what to do, and another council member, Jeff Large, I'm sure he won't mind me mentioning his name, we put our heads together, and we decided we would clear the council chamber of everybody but councillors. So it fell to me to stand up and say I wish to address the council in camera, which meant that all the university staff and the television who were there and the radio, they all had to leave.
Wow.
And then I addressed them with very, very carefully planned statement saying, if at some future date a general secretary might, our general secretary was not pleased, but I have to record that he came and had supper with us later. He and I both smoked a cigar, well, a pipe apiece,
yep.
And he was an extremely good general secretary in the end.
Leading the way. Fantastic. So How do you feel about the Open University today? I mean, did you even think it would last this long?
Of course it was going to last. I think it was, wasn't it, Reggie Maudlin who died at his desk, leaving a note saying, kill the Open University? One thing he was not going to do was kill it. It was ours. It was important. And just think of getting into the university with six O-levels. No, it was brilliant.
We're heading across, you know, into turbulent times now, aren't we? Massive upheaval in education.
Yep.
How is the Open University going to ride this storm?
It will sink or swim on the determination and skill of the staff and the students. After all, if we came in on a postal strike, you're not going to die now.
So give one piece of advice for those making the decisions right now so that they can sail for another 40 years.
Hang on to your dreams and believe in the future.